heart beats faster and faster.
Which divide life from death are at best shadowy and vague. Edgar Allan Poe, everybody, and this is Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Oh, that's right, Paranormal Broadcasting, where 4 out of 5 people who had never heard of ghost hunting before said they liked our paranormal podcast the best.
Hey, gangs, we were off for a week for Easter, and we're back live in studio, and we'll be in Genie chat room all night long.
And you can log into that chat room, if you haven't already, at www.ghostanddemon.com.
And this is the Ghostman, Sean B.
That would make me Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And this is the Sunday, April 19th broadcast of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
The Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and John Burris, and is broadcast live on Omnisound, KarmaCast, and Planet Paranormal Radio, and Absurd Radio, and is recorded for Planet Paranormal, Black Vault Radio Network, and the Para X Radio Network.
There you go, everybody. I hope you're ready and got your hats on and your pants fastened tight, I guess. Tonight's guest, Mark and Debbie Constantino. They're EVP specialists from www.spirit-speak.com. They stopped by to let us know what's being said on the other side. This and much, much more tonight on the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show.
And with that, Sean, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yes. Oh, thank you, Bob the Demon, for introducing us once again on a lovely Sunday night.
Lovely Sunday night. Raining here in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana. It's been a nasty day all day. It's kind of like Sleepy Hollow outside.
Well, I'll tell you, Sean, I had one of those great days where I got to put on the Miami Vice... what do you call them? The linen pants and my Hawaiian shirt.
It was we need the music to insert right here, the Miami Vice stuff.
It was 75 degrees here in Connecticut today, and I was having a grand old time, and now it's like 45 degrees out, and I had to go pull out the flannel and the sweatpants. And
wow.
You know, and wow. You've seen my flannels. I look kind of homeless right now, so.
Yeah, well, I got my flannel on and my spandex shorts. And my flip-flops, so I look really cool and suave right here in the studios. That's why we don't do video cam, live cam from the studios, guys. That's why we don't do it.
I'll tell you, right now I'm glad I'm not sharing a studio with you.
Well, usually we do it in our underwear, guys, but, you know, we can't get down. But
it's cold.
You know,
It's cold.
It is. It's cold outside. But what are you going to do, anybody? Anyway, I hope everybody had a great, great Easter last weekend. It was a great week. It was a beautiful weekend here in Indiana, at least. And I hope everybody had a good one. You think they did, Demon Hunter?
I'm certainly hoping they did. You know, I had a nice Easter. I had a nice dinner with Chrissy P's family. And I love my family, but that drive down to Jersey on a holiday weekend is a killer. So I love them, but not driving down on holidays.
Well, I'm pretty sure you could be killed at any point driving down to Jersey.
Well, I found the back roads now, so I'm not so worried about getting shot on the way down. I'm more worried about running over one of the bodies that have been hidden out there. So
True, yeah. That's how Jersey saves money on speed bumps. They just have the mob plant the bodies on the road. So,
hey, why don't we do a quick shout-out to our friends in the chat room tonight?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
To our buddies, we've got some great folks in there. We have, and of course, this name here is, it's Coast to Coast Ghost Hunter. That's my buddy Sean B. We have our loyal listeners, Ghost Chaser in there, and I'm hoping, is that Sir Gareth?
Sir Gareth.
Jerry is in there. The Midwest Paranormal Team, Ghostly Designs, and our buddy Kenny Biddle keeps bouncing in and out, and I'm in there too. If you folks got anything to say tonight, give us a shout out. And Sean, I found the International Listener of the Week.
Oh, wow.
For those of you who, you weren't in on the conversation, but just before the show, I went looking for the piece of paper and it had been thrown out. For once, not by me. By the
cleaning staff of the G&D Show studio.
Yes, the G&D studio cleaning staff came in and what are you going to do? But we want to send our international thanks out to Trondheim, Norway.
Is that like Tron, like the movie when we were kids?
I guess so. You know that. Oh, you know, I was on Facebook the other day, and they asked me to list my top five favorite Disney movies, and I didn't put Tron down. What was I thinking?
I know Tron was a blast, man. It was crazy. I love Tron. The blue guys and the red guys, and it was. All, I had the video game on Atari. You remember Atari?
I remember Atari. I never had the video game, but I used to spend my entire week's allowance in the arcade, playing the arcade version of that game.
See, there you go. Hey, little brother, I want to take this opportunity to thank all our listeners around the world and here in the United States for listening to what's sure to be another great episode of the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Thank you.
Well, Sean, you know, let's jump right in. I've got two things this week. I know you've got a few things. My first thing, of course, is our Ghost Hunters Tip of the Week.
Yeah.
And I know you and I were talking about it, and we're certainly not people to give out tips.
Why not?
Well, because we do everything our own way to begin with.
Yeah.
And when people say we're doing it wrong, we're like, well, how do you know? So,
you know, I always wondered why you're the one out of our radio show that gets invited to do talks around the world, and I don't. I always wondered that. Maybe we're on to something. I don't know.
Because I stay sober at the event.
And I don't. Let's just come out and say it, folks. If you see me in an event, I'm probably intoxicated. Well, it's just the way it is, guys. Party, party.
Let me light up my Oliva. It's a new Oliva Connecticut wrap cigar. I got at Butthead's Tobacco Emporium this week.
Hold on a second. Buttheads!
Buttheads! And let's talk about this week's tip of the week, folks. Like I said, we're not one to give tips, but I saw something watching a paranormal show the other day that drives me insane. And so I just, and that was watching somebody have their equipment fail. Not the batteries die, not anything like that. Their equipment failed just as something, I'm making little symbols. I know that doesn't work on radio, but I'm making little quotation symbols. Just as something paranormal happened.
See, as a ghost hunter, that's equivalent to having that not-so-fresh feeling when you're in the field. You know what I mean?
It is. And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, their camera kind of crackled when something happened. Mm-hmm. Now, Sean and I have gone out together. I have an infrared camera.
Several times. Yeah. Nathan buys every time we go out.
And Sean puts out. But we have an infrared camera we take with us. And it's good, but it's old. I mean, nowadays, they're about the size of a cigarette pack, if you can still afford cigarettes. And but mine's about the size of a couple of bricks put together. But it works well, although lately, it's been getting a little bit of a crackly image. And I was watching this, and I saw the equipment there, and I'm like, well, you see the shows, and you assume that when they went in, they tested their equipment before they went in.
Yeah.
And my tip for the week is test your equipment. If you know you have a ghost hunt coming up this Saturday, Thursday night, take out your equipment, play with it, make sure each piece is working. Because I know my brick-sized infrared camera now every now and then crackles on its own. And,
Hold on. So the official G&D show tip of the week, guys, play with your equipment. Make sure it works. You need
Wait,
to have your
I haven't gotten to hit this in a while.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
Oh, it feels like a good old day.
I'm just saying, play with your equipment. You got to play with it, you know?
Test it, make sure it's working. Wait, I'm giving Sean way too many doors to go into here. Make sure your camera is working properly. Make sure your audio equipment is recording. And don't come out later and say, well, it broke down just as this was happening. Because, you know, when you get pulled over for a ticket, one of the first things you check out is if that officer had his gun, well, not his gun, but his radar gun checked just before he hit you, because that's a way out of a ticket. So,
yeah.
You know, if you're going in to investigate, check your gear before you go out and investigate. And that's our tip for the week. I've got some stuff later, but Sean, why don't you give us what you've been, I know you've been digging up some interesting stuff this week.
I always dig up kind of stuff, man. When I finally get my hands out of my pants, I actually go to the boards and I try to find something.
When he stops checking his equipment.
Yeah, when I start playing with my equipment. You're never going to live that down. Play with your equipment. I believe if you check every radio show, coast to coast, guys, you won't find anybody that says go out and play with your equipment on a nightly basis. It just doesn't happen.
But
you heard it here first on GD Show.
Once a week. That's not such a bad schedule to play with your equipment.
Yeah, man, that'd make you zen-like. You'll be real peaceful and good at mind. But, you know, I was going to talk about all kinds of stuff, Demon Hunter. You know, we got a lot of stuff happening here at the G&D Show Studios. It's a great time for us. And there's a lot of stuff happening in the paranormal field going on right now. And I went to a store, and I'm going to give a shout-out here, Demon Hunter. Here in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana, off Madison Avenue, there's a little shop called World of Wisdom.
Okay.
World of Wisdom. I don't believe they have a website. If they do, it's out in the car, guys, and I'm not going out there because it's raining. But I'll get that for you next week. But it's a little metaphysical store.
Sean doesn't like to get his equipment wet.
Yeah, I don't like to get my – especially with these spandex pants on or whatever they're in. But, I went in there and I started walking around, and I always buy incense from there. And the witch – that owns the place, she's an actual witch, and she was talking to me about, you know, I said, oh man, we got a lot of stuff going on, there's a lot of things going on in my life, and she gave me these incense. One was for business, and one was to ward off bad mojo, man. So I've been burning those, I got those burning right now, business ones, in the G&D Show Studios right now, and she actually put together for me, which I'm holding in my hand, maybe you guys can hear it, listen. I don't know if you guys hear it, but it is a mojo bag. It has 1, 2, 3, 4 blue dots on both sides. It's like a little burlap bag. And this witch went around her shop, and she put together all these little good herbs and spices and oils. And she put that out there for me, and she said that this should help me get to where I need to be and make life clean and clear and everything crispy. I had to sleep with it under my pillow for 7 days. So last night I slept with it. It was the 8th day. So we should officially be, I'm going to give updates every week. We should officially be at the point the mojo bag is protecting me.
Okay.
So we're going to give mojo bag updates every week. I want to let people know what's going on. See, I don't even know the history of the mojo bag, Demon Hunter. Do you know the history of it?
I honestly don't, and you threw a curveball at me there. I do
there
know
it is.
That they're used in many different rituals. When I went down to Louisiana, they had a lot of mojo bags used in voodoo, but I do not personally know the history of the mojo bag. I do know that they are traditionally used in magics that are older than time, because people would use a mojo bag to hang around their neck that would have different things from their whole life, and that bag represented their life spirit.
See, and the Indians would have, like, the medicine bags. I think it was pretty much the same thing. And, you know, I've been whacking myself with it all week for the good luck. So it's in my car now. Actually, it's here in the studio, but tomorrow it'll be in my car, and it's going to follow me around. I'm going to let you guys know up to date, week to week, what's going on, if good stuff or bad stuff happens. Hopefully good stuff will happen from now on, but... I've done what she said. I've slept with it under my pillow for 8 nights now. Only 7 nights was required, and we'll see what goes on with that. But I wanted to
now you've overused it, man. Now you've overused it.
I know, it's probably wore out now. The smell's actually gone out of it. But we got this one thing about I wanted to talk about here is the ghost nun. And if you go back in our archives, which I'm sure all our listeners have listened to every single episode of the Ghostman Demon Hunter show.
I'm sure they have.
I talked about this old place, and I'm going to say nunnery. I know that's not the right term for it, but I like to call it nunnery.
Get thee to a nunnery.
That's where they make nuns. That's where the nuns come from. And, you know, there was this old nunnery or chapel or whatever you guys want to call it, Catholic church there, that set off right off 65 north and 70 west, right there at the corner where you turn to go and you pass in downtown Indianapolis. There used to be an old Catholic church that used to house the nuns. And they used to house, you know, the priest, I guess, too, but mostly the nuns. They lived there. And on one of our previous shows, Demon Hunter, I spoke about, I was driving, and it was kind of a funny thing. I was driving down the road, and I was in back of this old lady, and she wouldn't move, and there was like a car full of them. And I was going, oh my goodness, I was honking my horn and everything, and I started to pass them. And when I did, it was a car full of nuns. Do you remember me telling the story?
Yes, I do remember that story.
Okay, so I passed this car full of nuns, and they just kind of looked straight on. They didn't look at me or nothing. I was like, oh, man, I feel really bad. Well, a couple weeks ago, Easter weekend, actually, I was up there around 65-70 split here in Indianapolis, and I seen a car with a nun in it. And she had her full gear on, Demon Hunter. You'll have to correct me. What's the proper term for her headpiece and
You're just throwing these things at me tonight, Sean, and I was busy lighting my cigar again here because it went out.
Stop playing with your equipment and answer the question.
it would be a habit, Sean.
Yes, the habit, sir. That's right. And she was wearing the habit and the black robe or whatever. And I passed her again on Friday, and I started passing. I looked back in the rearview mirror, and I know you guys are thinking I made this up, but I didn't. And I did not see her car in the rearview mirror, and there was no turnoffs behind me. And I looked again. I didn't see her car. I looked again. I looked three times. I did not see this woman's car. And she's always, like I said, the first time it was a group of nuns in this car, and they were driving very, very slow, and it was like a vehicle from the 70s. And I seen her. She was driving like a vehicle from the 70s too, and there was no turnoffs, but she was gone. And I started to do some research, and I found out that there was that old nunnery there that burnt down or whatever. That old Catholic church. I don't know if anybody died there. I don't know any of the history, but I do know there used to be something there, and there is nothing around that area anymore where nuns would be heading to. So it just struck me as funny that I might have, in fact, seen the ghost of a nun driving a 70s station wagon.
I'm just glad, Sean, you saw her driving a 70s station wagon and not flying. Because if it had been the ghost of the flying nun, I would have been very, very upset there.
We'd have had to have Sally Fields on the show.
Yes.
Yeah, but I seen her, man, plain as day, and she just had her little head forward, and she was driving right along. And as soon as I passed her, I swear she was not in back of me anymore. So I think, guys, I'm going to put this out. We have many haunted Indiana books. I'm going to go ahead and put this out right now. I believe that the 65-70 split there in Indianapolis is haunted. There, I said it. I said it.
All right, Sean. Well, you know, it takes only a sighting for Sean to declare it haunted. We don't need proof or anything like that. No.
No.
Sean?
No, I think it's haunted.
Sean, can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Proof negative.
Hey, it's happened before to me, right? But I'm on the lookout, man, for ghostly happenings around Indiana, anywhere for that matter. And of course, if we find anything, you can go to www.ghostanddemon.com and log on to our forums and check that out, because me and Nathan always puts up stuff. Well, we don't always do it. Nathan usually does. But if I get something really good, I'm going to put it up there, guys. So keep checking it every day. And I can't believe you brought out the proof negative. That's terrible. That's like a baseball bat to the groin. That's terrible.
For those of you who don't know the joke, Sean is a television star. He was on the Proof Positive show. And the week he was on, he was the only investigator to be given proof negative. But and it's a sore spot, which I just love to rub salt in. But,
And the bad thing is they let me tell my, you know, what little I got. I had the Geiger counter out, and I had some Geiger counter readings, and I had some EMF readings. Even got a little bit EVP, but they didn't add that into the show, and they just said, they showed my face, and then a big sign said proof negative. So, you know, that kind of ruined my credibility in the paranormal, but I don't care.
Oh, that's yeah, like we have credibility in the paranormal, Sean.
I think we do.
Hey, you know, you were saying before about people going back and listening to our old shows. I just wanted to point out to all our friends out there, I have finally learned how to upload our shows to the Planet Paranormal site.
Mm-hmm.
So I am currently uploading our shows starting with our very first shows. So right now, our first, I'd say, 6 months are up on the Planet Paranormal site. So if you want to hear what we sounded like before we knew what we were doing, this is us refined, folks. This is yeah. The good Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. But if you
this
want
is
to go
Ghostman
back,
and Demon Hunter show on Valium.
If you want to hear what we were used to like, be like, go ahead back to Planet Paranormal. You will find those things there. But and of course, you can catch out our more recent shows on just about everywhere we have them. But Para X Radio plays us during the week, and the Black Vault Radio Network, you can always find us there. But Planet Paranormal is slowly becoming our new home. Eventually, our Podomatic site over this summer will vanish, and you will have to go to Planet Paranormal to get our shows. But, hey, bro, before we go any further, I just also wanted to say a thank you to a listener, our friend Tammy out in Kentucky. You remember Tammy? We met her when we were down in Kentucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
She contacted me because she and her friends want to start a podcast. And, of course, I told them, don't do it. Really, don't. It's way too time consuming. But they're interested, so I threw them some information. But she wanted to let us know that when she first started listening to our show, she used to tell everybody they either had to go to bed or get out so that she could listen to our show in peace. Now, I just want to say when we first started doing the show, Sean was telling people to either get into bed or get out. So
yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if she played with her equipment while she listened to the show. I mean, that's terrible, guys. You only hear it here on G&D Show. That's nasty.
But, you know, it's dude, you got anything else for us there, Sean?
I got all kinds of stuff, brother.
Well, give
you
us
know
something
that.
More.
This is a magical world we live in. This is a paranormal world we live in, guys. UFO caught in northern Indiana by two men, Demon Hunter. Now, I don't have the story. I just took down the notes real quick. There was two men in southern Illinois. I guess that would be southern Illinois if it's northern Indiana. And they chased what they believed to be a flying V-shaped UFO across the Indiana-Illinois state line. This was just Easter weekend. And okay, they followed that into Crown Point, Indiana, where they said it disappeared. So we got all kinds of stuff going on out here, man. We got alien sightings going on. It's very interesting. It's happening, man. It's going on right now. But they found that. They actually sent the pictures, guys. If you want to check them out, you go to paranormalabout.com. And Google in UFOs in northern Indiana, and I believe that will bring up the pictures that the men caught of the flying V, the flying triangle. It was in the air, Demon Hunter, and it crossed over to Hoosierville.
Well, you know, I feel stupid because it's been on our news program, it's been in the news, it's been all over, but there were the UFO sightings in Morristown, New Jersey. And my first job that I ever had out of high school was in Morristown, New Jersey. So I know the area. And they turned out to be a hoax.
Yeah.
And it's been all over. And here I am. I know that the young men who started doing it did it by having time-released flares, and they were putting them on balloons.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be a hoax. But I guess the History Channel or Discovery Channel, one of them, actually put it out that they believed it was a real they were talking about how they were moving in unison, and it was the wind carrying them in unison, obviously. But they were saying that it was a real UFO sighting, and on April Fool's Day, the young men came out and admitted that it was a hoax that they had betrayed. So,
right.
But
well, you got to give them credit, man. A for effort. Right?
I think you got to give them a sentence because I think they've been fined for it.
Well, my side's on. Hey, guys. Hey. They're trying to make the world a magical place, which it already is. But you know what? We don't need fakes, guys. There's a lot of weird stuff that goes on out there without faking, like the Bigfoot thing that happened a couple months. Well, it was, what, about 6 months ago. The guys came out there in Georgia, and they had found the Bigfoot and everything. I mean, I was gung-ho about that, man. That made the CNN and everything. I was like, oh, man, we found Bigfoot in my lifetime. That's great. And then we found out it was a bunch of animal hides thrown together with some guts and stuff. It was pretty bad, pretty bad. But what are you going to do? But anyway, Demon Hunter, do you guys remember the movie Christine by Stephen King? Very good movie, Christine.
Of course I remember Christine. I grew up on Christine.
There you go, there you go. You grew up on top of Christine. That's terrific. But we got a real-life Christine, and it comes right out of the Canada.com information website. Craigslist offers a haunted car. Are you guys ready for this? Demon Hunter, take a deep breath. A driver is selling a special 1992 Honda Accord on the Los Angeles chapter of Craigslist. After spending thousands to fix it up, he reckons it's still haunted. Some of the car's special features seem to be possessed by a demon or some sort of entity. Makes low mumbling, backwards-like, indistinguishable talking sounds through the speakers, which aren't even hooked up to anything. There's no stereo in it, so it can't be anything to do with that. When you get into the car, the post continues. It makes you have odd feeling like you want to leave fast to get out of the car. And also, there's a cold spot inside the rear seat that makes you uneasy. He's asking $6,500, but he'll take half that if you twist his arm. Fair disclosure, he puts, the seller warns potential buyers that the vehicle is an attempted murderer. It makes no sense at all, but it has almost killed me many of times while I was driving to work and school. Please take this car out of my life, guys. And I believe that's still on Craigslist. $6,500, 1992 Honda Accord, and it's haunted.
That's a great selling point. It tries to kill you. I suppose there's a lot of people out there thinking about suicide that are going to really, like, jump on that right now.
Right, right. I guess it's still out there. It's not been that long ago that was posted up there, Demon Hunter. But, yeah, it's going, man. Real-life Christine. And then we got another one that came out, guys.
We got time for one more, Sean. Then we got to go to a break.
Hey, I'm going to do 12 more. Okay,
ready for this one?
Oldest skeleton in America is found in underwater cave. Okay, I wrote this down, so bear with me, guys. Deep inside an underwater cave in Mexico, archaeologists may have discovered the oldest human skeleton ever found in the Americas. Dubbed Eve of Naharan, the female skeleton has been dated at 13,600 years old. If this age is accurate, the skeleton, along with three others found in the cave, alongside the Caribbean coast, could provide new clues to how the Americas were first populated. So there you go. This just came out last week. They found new skeletons in an underwater cave that might question when the Americas were founded.
Well, you know, there were people there. I think... You know what? My history's all gone, so I'm not even going to give dates. But I know that it's just a bad night. I've had two maker's marks. What do you want? But
I just wanted to say special thanks to the Belgian White, Belgian-style wheat ale Blue Moon. Thank you for making this G&D Blue Moon show, because I've had like 16 of them, and it keeps on going, guys.
Well, you know, bro, I was about to talk about how the original people came over the land bridge up in Alaska, but you know what? We have to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll have our guests for the night, Mark and Debbie.
All right, guys, stay tuned. Mark and Debbie Constantino up next.
Welcome to the Waverly Hills Sanatorium Audio Experience. Take an 80-minute audio tour inside one of the most haunted locations in the United States. Available on iTunes and CDBaby.com. 100% of the proceeds go to StompOutCancer.com, a nonprofit charity that is working hard to help kids and young adults fight cancer. The Waverly Hills Sanatorium Audio Experience, a haunting way to help bring hope to those who need it most.
The vault is open. You're listening to the Haunted Headlines, your source for the stories making waves in the paranormal news. Sponsored by GhostVillage.com at www.ghostvillage.com/news.
Good evening, I'm Christopher Balzano, and you're listening to The Haunted Headlines, Ghost Village's weekly journey on the Paranormal Newswire to bring you the biggest stories making waves in the ghostly community. A few weeks ago, Ghost Village covered the story of a paranormal group in Ocala, Florida, working to save a haunted inn. This week, we are sad to report their efforts were in vain. The Seven Sisters Inn was purchased by First Coastal Community Bank for $100,000 at a foreclosure auction Tuesday. According to Ocala.com, the auction price includes the two Victorian homes on the National Registry of Historic Places and everything in them, including furnishings the former owners had collected over the years. Tuesday, members of the group who had tried to save the inn through an online petition, Southeastern Paranormal Investigations, organized a public candlelighting ceremony to give their final goodbyes to a building they believed was vital to the local and paranormal community. Ghosts are notorious for complaining after a house has been renovated, but in South Africa, one might be helping to make the decisions. Like the famous Winchester House, spirits are offering advice at the old St. John's Church Rectory in Bathurst, so the new tenant, Marilyn Michelle, can get it done right. According to the Dispatch Online, soon after the purchase, she dropped her daughter at a medium's house in KwaZulu-Natal to advise on what to do with the ghosts. Instead, the medium told her a nun who had committed suicide in the house wanted certain alterations made to make it look like it had years ago in its heyday. Michelle followed the orders and has made peace with the departed nun, although several other spirits who were responsible from everything from odd smells and weird dreams to noises and lights have been thrown out by exorcists and witch doctors. And last from the wire tonight, if you've got what it takes, you too can be on Ghost Hunters. According to the Sci-Fi Network, there is a new show on the horizon titled Ghost Hunters New Generations, which has begun looking for talent to display. It appears the show will be more about educating investigators than the original Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International. Quote, whether you're a college student majoring in psych, engineering, or journalism, or just a whiz with electronics or photography, you may have the skills that could be perfect for a team of up-and-coming paranormal investigators. And if you and your friends love to explore cemeteries and old houses, then we want to teach you how to do it right, end quote. You can officially sign up by visiting Sci-Fi's website or heading off to Pilgrim Films site at www.pilgrim-films.com/casting.html. Good luck. That's all the news we have for this week. Please stay tuned when we offer a special report later in the week on two different stories we've been tracking over the past couple months. Until then, you can go to our website at www.ghostvillage.com/news to get more information on these stories or anything else we covered during the week. I'm Chris Balzano, and that's what's haunting me.
Welcome to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. Get your weekly download to all things ghostly and paranormal and then some. Test your knowledge of the paranormal with haunted trivia. Email your otherworldly experiences for parishare and listen in to the rants and useless banter of Laura and Brian. If they've got an opinion on the paranormal,
or even a great pub,
they'll talk about it. The Deadline can be easily downloaded from the njghs.net website. You can also listen to archive shows at podcastalley.com. Say, while at Podcast Alley, cast a vote for The Deadline, because everyone knows that at some point in life, you have to meet The Deadline.
Hi there, folks. This is Len Adams with the American Ghost Society here in beautiful Decatur, Illinois, attending a conference with the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Be sure to check out my book, So There I Was, co-written with my good buddy Troy Taylor. Take care, and of course, happy haunting.
Well, there was no intro music, Sean.
Why not? I don't understand it.
I don't know. It's absolutely crazy. Why didn't we get our intro music? Let me see who's running that. Oh, wait, it's me.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, well, I guess that makes us look really good as our guests come on tonight. We should probably introduce first our good buddy who is sitting in the third chair, the paranormal... what do we call him? The paranormal instigator, Jason Gowan.
Oh, hello, everyone.
hello, Governor.
Hello, sir. How are you this evening?
Don't... I need a pint.
Stop.
What?
Stop, Jason. You're going to get Sean to actually start trying to do an accent, and then we're all in
for
it.
Yeah, see, we ruined the whole intro.
I apologize, Jason. It won't happen again.
That's all right. And, of course...
Ruined the whole intro, man.
Of course, joining us tonight...
Yes!
The EVP specialists themselves, Mark and Debbie, welcome to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Thank you.
How's it going?
Well, apparently since our intro music isn't working, it's going iffy. But I'm sure it'll pick up now that you're here.
It's going good.
We're supposed to do our English accents, but, you know.
All you got to do is go, hello, hello, Debbie.
Go ahead. All right. Go ahead, Mark and Debbie. Your best English accents. Go.
Hello.
You guys sound like you're having a good time, so we're just listening.
So you guys, Mark and Debbie Constantino, of course, we're talking to EVP specialists, and we can find out more about them at www.spirit-speak.com. Guys, check that out, because Mark and Debbie are awesome, and I can't wait to get our EVPs up tonight, because they got some real spooky ones for us. And I wanted to start off by asking you guys, what does it feel like to be titled EVP specialist?
Well, it feels pretty good. It's a heck of a lot better than experts, you know, because, Darkness Dave labels us experts, and, you know, we kind of change that because there's no experts in this field. When you become an expert, then I think you're dead. So, you know,
right.
Kind of good to be on this side.
Right. And, you know, Debbie, I can't wait to that day where I can say I'm an expert, and I will contact you. I promise. I will.
Sound good. Haunt me bad, would you?
I
appreciate that very much.
It's funny, whenever our buddy Jason, he's also on Encounters Paranormal Radio, and whenever I call in there, the host Tim Yancey will call me a demonologist, and I have to yell at him and say, Tim, I'm not a demonologist. I just play one on the radio.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you that. You're a demon hunter, right? I was going to ask you if you were a demonologist.
No, unfortunately, after you've worked with John Zaffis, that's what everybody calls you. So,
I always wanted to be a doctor.
We didn't know it.
If you guys could call me Dr. Ghostman, I'd really appreciate it. That'd be awesome. Okay.
I'll work on that.
It's an honorary title.
right, absolutely. Doctor in basket weaving. That seems to be able to get you by here in the paranormal anymore these days. So, there's a lot of people out there, guys, that they claim to be, and that's what I was talking about with EVP specialists. That's awesome of you guys, because you could have went out there and said experts. And just what Debbie was saying before, there is no experts in this field. And what you guys have done, and I mean, your portfolio speaks for itself. The things that you guys have collected over the years, oh my gosh. I mean, how's it feel to be able to contact the dead that easily?
Well, I in the beginning, it wasn't easy. I mean, I just think through having a passion for EVP and sticking with it through the beginning part where we didn't get much, I think after a while, you know, they get to know, Spirit knows everything that you're doing down here. And
right.
I think after a while, they get to realize that you're serious, in that you have your recorder on, like with us, it was two times a day, every day at home. And we actually started recording at home first before we ended up using it in paranormal investigation. So I think it just comes with time, basically, as far as being able to pick up spirit voices, I would say maybe a little bit more than average.
You know, and I think it tends to show, you know, that you really care about them and you're on their side, and, you know, you got to kind of prove yourself in a sense. And then I think once you start getting the voices, my analogy, as intricate as it is kind of like stirring the pudding. You know, when pudding gets that little skin on the top, you
right.
want to keep it stirred and keep recording and kind of keep that psychic doorstop or that portal open, you know, by recording every day or whenever you can or whenever you used to have when you record. And I, you know,
how long for you guys was it before you started getting results?
I'd say at least a good 3 months. And, you know, we're using the same equipment we did, you know, then as we do now. But I think it's the thing with kind of, you know, you're almost like opening up a portal. And this is just, you know, my thought. There's, you know, nothing to base it on. But it's almost like you're kind of parting the veil between the two worlds, and, you know, it takes a little bit of effort. It takes them to kind of case you out, see if they want to work with you, and you know, but it took about 3 months, and ever since we've gotten it, I don't think, you know, we don't record every day, but maybe, you know, we'll come back from a location maybe 3 days later, you know, we'll start getting it again. So, you know, the door's never fully closed.
Now, Debbie, I'm not an EVP specialist, but I do love messing with EVPs. Out of everything in the paranormal, EVPs is number one on my plate. I guess it's because it's that instant gratification.
And I
love it, man. It's like an adrenaline rush to get those. And I got to tell you, I really studied into the art of EVP, electronic voice phenomena, and I found out about ITC. And, of course, you guys know about ITC with Mark Macy. And, it kind of sounds like Mark and Debbie, what you guys are talking about, it's kind of along the lines of ITC, how you have to build your format. You have to build your relationship with your spirit guides or the person on the other side so these EVPs can come more fluent. Is that what's happening here?
We do have spirit helpers, but I'll let Mark pick up this one.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's a good way to put it, but, you know, even putting EVP to the side or putting ITC to the side, I mean, it's like anything else in life. If you want to be good at something, you have to work at it, whether it's baseball or hockey or, you know, whatever. I mean, you have to work at what you want to be good at. You're not just going to, day one, be really good at, you know, whatever you're trying to do. You have to work at it.
Right.
And that's an important thing. I know a long time ago, Debbie and I, that's the first thing that we did is we asked, you know, if there was a spirit guide or a spirit helper that would help us as far as, you know, allowing the spirits to talk to us and helping them, you know, if there were spirits that were kind of new at it or whatever. And, you know, we have a spirit helper that popped through. He gave us his name, and he comes and talks to us, what, every 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, guys, I have a question for you. I was looking at your website and some of the places you've gone, things you've done, and I want to ask you a little bit about your adventure, you know, coming up at Waverly Hill Sanitarium. But first, when I looked at it, I saw Patrick Burns is on there. And so I just had to throw in, because I think of this whenever I think of Patrick, you know, because of his hair. I had to say, Debbie, I love your hair. It's absolutely, and we try and get Patrick to tell us the secret of how he gets his hair like that. You know, what do you use in your hair to make it so pretty?
Oh, you know, Patrick tried to get that out of me as well. You know, he looks like the dude from Phantasm now. His hair is really long.
Yeah.
So he's like, I wanted that cherry bomb red, and I'm like, Patrick, no, that's going to cost you. But No, seriously, go to Sally and just put tinfoil on the ends of your hair, and you're good to go.
No, I think Debbie uses fruit and berries, man. She's all natural.
Yeah, it's not like that, of course. Yeah, and there's no work there at all.
Yeah, I use more product than an 80s hairband, so it's not good. But you guys are heading out to Waverly Hills on May 10th through the 13th to investigate and present.
We are.
We're pretty excited.
Have you been to Waverly Hills before?
We have, and that was one of the craziest places that we've been to. It's funny because a friend of ours, last year was the first time we'd ever been there. So we were talking to her, and she said, you just got to be careful because there's times at Waverly where you'll get crazy EVP, and there's times that you won't get much. They'll just decide whether they want to talk to you or not. So we were like, yeah, okay, you know, we usually have pretty good success wherever we go. And anyway, we ended up on two separate nights in the same room. We picked up on EVP, one spirit, talking to another spirit named Harry, and he was telling Harry that he needed to be quiet. They were actually making a concerted effort not to speak to us, but we were picking it up on EVP. It was the weirdest thing we'd ever experienced.
Now, do you find it difficult to do investigations at these conferences with so many people there?
It is. It's definitely a challenge. Debbie and I, from doing so many of them, we have, you know, sort of a protocol that we go by. We'll just tell, if we have 15 people there, we'll say, you know what, you're going to sit on the floor, because Debbie and I usually, for whatever reason, end up in somebody's basement.
They like to put us in the basement.
So we just tell them, you know, get comfortable on the floor. We'll give you 5 minutes, you know, so when we start recording, there's no shuffling going on, and you know, we'll just put them through the steps of how we do it. And it usually works out pretty good as far as keeping everybody quiet, which is the most important thing of all. And, you know, but, yeah, I mean, I'd much rather, you know what, send me to a location that's haunted, that's been banged up and boarded up for 25 years, and we're the first ones going in, and they are the – that is my all-time favorite spot to go to. I mean,
yeah.
Two or three or four people, and that's it.
Well, yeah, but I think generally, though, a lot of the people that see our conferences and, you know, see how we do it, and we have, like, a 10-second rule, don't talk, you know, once you ask a question, before you shut off recorder and stuff. And I think generally a lot of people really want to see the evidence. And a lot of people, you know, be it 15 people in a room, they're pretty cool with it. You know, you might get that one or two people, you know, but you kind of nip it in the bud right there, and people are pretty good.
And playing it back, is – the way we do it is we'll sit everybody down, we'll record for a minute or a minute and a half, and then we turn the recorder off and we play it back right in front of everybody.
Right.
So you know, people sitting there, you know, are realizing that, hey, if something comes up, they got this stuff right in front of us, you
yeah.
know, and it seems to work well.
Well, I got to tell you guys, Mark and Debbie, I took out the bionic microphone. I bought one of those and I took it to a ongoing investigation that I was on. This has been years ago, and it was right across from a cemetery. And of course, you guys know what I'm talking about when I say bionic microphone, right? The hunters use.
We don't use one, but.
Well, I gotta say, I used it that one time, and I had a motorcycle went by in the background. You heard it just kind of went down the street, and then right after that, it was followed up by Rot in Hell.
Really?
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I said, could you give me a name, or, you know, whoever's here with us, could you give us a name, or just basic questions? And it says Rotten Hell. And I thought, well, maybe that was the motorcycle. I don't know. You know, maybe it was. But after that, I had a very ornery spirit the rest of the night that kept talking to me. And I tell you what, the bionic microphone is awesome to use.
Now, did they introduce that in the Ghost Adventures? I think I saw that in one of their shows.
You know what? I don't know if the guys at Ghost Adventures did that. I know this has been about 8 years ago that I used this.
Oh, okay.
And a buddy is a hunter of mine. He hunts deer and stuff. And he told me, hey, man, if you want to pick up stuff that's below human hearing, you would want to try a bionic microphone. So that's what I tried. And I got some great results with it.
That's interesting, because I was hearing about Ghost Hunters International. And I was talking to Rob, and he had some kind of you know the headphones you use when you're doing a shooting in the shooting gallery type thing?
Yeah.
He was using those, and I guess hoping to pick up spirit voices with those. Somebody told him that they were great for that.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's amazing the kind of equipment you can use, you know? I mean, I'm
now,
a
what do you,
camping aisle.
What do you guys say to those skeptics, not even skeptics out there, but those people that say doing EVP is the equivalent of playing with a Ouija board or something like that? What do you guys tell these folks?
Okay, well, for me, now, I'm not, I've talked to Adam Bly on a few occasions, and I'm not saying that doing EVP is the correct thing to do as far as the Roman Catholic Church or anything like that, because, every time I talk to Adam, he's like, you learn something every day. But, as far as the Ouija board, when you use the Ouija board, you're actually putting your hand on that planchette. When you're putting your hand on there, you're allowing them, vertently or inadvertently, to enter your body.
Ha! You know? See, Sean?
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, Debbie, I will dance naked if that's what it takes for a ghost to appear. That's, you know, this is the way I roll.
I want to see that. That was the best English accent I can come up with. I'm sorry.
That's it.
Sean will dance naked for a warm beer, so don't think you have to prove anything.
Hello, Governor.
Enough for warm beers, and we will too.
Say, there you go. See, I think Mark and Debbie needs to have an EVP session with the Ghost Men and Demon Hunter show, and I tell you, we're going to get great stuff.
We've actually gone to places that have disembodied voices.
Yeah.
One of our favorite places to go is Whispers Estate, and we did a live show from there, and we were getting growls. And in the middle of our show, we got a growl through the microphones during the show.
Oh, very cool.
Now, where's this at?
That is, of course, whispersestate.com, www.whispersestate.com. It's in beautiful Mitchell, Indiana, and it's haunted by, believed to be haunted by, the ghost of a little girl named Rachel. And it's been in Children of the Grave by the Booth Brothers and yeah, some other places. And, man, we've had some great stuff happen out there, I got to tell you.
Now, personally, I think it's one of those places that is there's a person that goes in there that it's very interested in. And his name is Jarrett. He's one of the owners of the building. And when he goes in, this stuff all picks up. Mm-hmm. And if he's not there, you get very little. But you still get stuff, I've been told. But he seems to be the catalyst for me. And how do you, what experiences do you have with that, with people who just seem to spark up EVP when they walk into a room?
Well, what's interesting is you mentioned this Whispers place, because we're going to be doing the Wolf Manor Live in Fresno on May 2nd. And this place, I think Ghost Hunters did it, and they actually picked up a disembodied voice. We've done it several times, been locked in that cellar. We've heard the, I don't know if it's the same voice, but, you know, very similar disembodied voices in there that we've picked up on recorder also. So,
as far as people kind of sparking things, it's funny because the more you do these conferences and the more you investigate, you always end up pulling out four or five people that no matter where you go, no matter what you do, you get crazy stuff. And I think it's more about the energy level. You know, you just mesh for whatever reason with certain people in this field. And I think that's a big part of just going into a place and all of a sudden all hell breaks loose. I mean, that's happened to us a couple times in the past year. And it's crazy.
Yeah, we have a friend, Pete, that goes to basically every conference. And it doesn't matter who you're working for, Pete's there. So we have like a Pete file because we know the ghosts love him and we know the ghosts are going to talk to him. So we just created a file because he wants, you know, hey, if they said hi or something, can you send it to me? So we've created a Pete file, you know, but I mean, certain people, it's like, you know, you work with somebody and you always got that one guy where you're going in the morning and you get your coffee and this guy's nice to be around. You know, you have a bad day, go talk to Pete.
You know, well, when I work with Sean at places, I get a lot of phantom smells.
I've worked with him too.
Hey, that's my little addition to the paranormal. That's what I like to. I'm a nervous farter. Everybody.
You're just keeping everybody on the level, right?
That's right. But you know what? You guys have done so many great things. What do you think are one of your best EVPs? And actually, we need to go and play some of those, Demon Hunter. We're running out of time.
Yeah, oh my gosh, we are. Well, we're going to throw an extra few minutes in here because we started a couple minutes late. But, guys, I want to play these EVPs that you gave us to play. These are EVPs caught by Mark and Debbie. I'm going to play number 24 first.
Okay, real quick, 24 is from Bobby Mackey's, which is a crate that, to talk about that place would take an hour in itself.
More than that.
But what you're going to hear is, as soon as the clip starts, you're going to hear a female spirit say, "Get out." Then you're going to hear Debbie say something like, you know, "If you talk, you can hear your voice. We'll play it back." And then right after Debbie stops talking, she says, "Right behind here." And you can tell it's the same female spirit.
Okay, guys, I'm going to amp the sound really loud on this. So, Do not be surprised if it blasts out your drums when I do it here.
We can hear you. I can play your voice back right here.
Wow, okay.
See, that's a good one. That I definitely heard that "get out," and I just wanted to say, guys, you realize that that ghost story at Bobby Mackey starts in beautiful Greencastle, Indiana.
No, we didn't.
No,
know
but
that.
So was
the lady that was beheaded. I forget her name. God forgive
me.
Pearl Bryant. I've been to her grave. Yeah, I've been to her grave many times. She was a local, she was a student at DePaul University in Greencastle, Indiana. She's buried out there right now, and they actually had to bury her headstone because the kids were chiseling off pieces of her headstone. So you have the face of the headstone, the kids go out there and they put pennies up there, heads up, on top of her gravestone right now to this day for good luck. So it all started here in Indiana, where she was impregnated by one of the guys from Chicago, I guess, and he was into or at least this is the story I heard. He was into Satanism or something like that, and they had beheaded.
I think. That's interesting. Now I'm going to have to go to Indiana and research that. So
you got to come out here. You guys can sleep over my house. It's right out here in the cornfields. You know what I mean?
We'll do crop circles as well. Sounds good.
That's right.
If you guys hadn't noticed, Sean is a Hoosier through and through. So you're going to get a lot of that started in Indiana. It's kind of like people who say, you know, well, that started in my home country. And that's
no, it's true. It's true. I always call her Lane Bryant, but it's Pearl Bryant. Lane Bryant's the undergarment for heavy set ladies. But I'm doing the ShamWow commercials now. Yeah.
Okay, guys, I'm gonna amp up the volume here to play the next one, number 25.
Okay, that one is from Rolling Hills, and it's got kind of a long story to it. Deb, do you want to go in? It's about the dolls.
Really quickly, Dave Schrader does the charity auctions with Darkness Radio events. So he came to our room. He said, listen, I got a doll from Rolling Hills. Lori gave it to me. Can you get some EVP? So, you know, Mark worked with the doll, got some EVP. And, you know, 2 weeks later, we're editing the EVP we got from Rolling Hills. And Mark says something like, you know, is there anything we can do for you? On the EVP we pick up 2 weeks later, it says, you hear Mark talk, and then you hear, give it back, the doll. But at that point, Mark hadn't even been given the doll.
Yes.
So that's the intricate part. I mean, it's like they must have watched Dave get the doll from Lori, the owner of Rolling Hills, or whatever. But at that point that we recorded the EVP, we hadn't even been given the doll, which I think is pretty interesting.
Yeah, we got that EVP about 18 hours before we actually got the doll, so we didn't even know we were getting a doll. But Spirit at Rolling Hills knew that we were going to be getting the doll.
Oh, it would end up in our hands.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's take a listen to this. I'm going to amp us up and play the number 25 clip.
If so, is there something we can do to help you? If so, is there something we can do to help you? If so, is there something we can do to help you?
Well, I heard give it back in the doll, so...
Yeah.
It's a little garbled, but, I mean, for what it... You know, for what it's meant, you know, for what it says, I think it's pretty cool.
So you guys go out, you give these talks, you help people learn how to do these EVPs. Now, when you guys are going to be out at this place, you said on May 2nd, can people still get tickets to go to that with you? And
well, actually, that's going to be kind of the Wolf Manor Live. It's in Fresno, California.
Okay.
And actually, I think... when Taps did it, they called it Clovis Hospital. Same place. It's the Wolf Manor Live. And you can go to www.wolfmanorhotel.com. And you can just watch it in the Comcast on May 2nd through your computer.
It's not a conference. It's just Debbie and I are going to be there with, I think, one or two cameramen, and that's it in the whole place.
But, I mean, that's more than enough because this place is live.
But
so.
But people can come out and meet you and learn from you at the Waverly Hills Haunted Sanitarium on May 10th through the 13th. And for that information, they can go to darknessradio.com.
Right. And then we'll also be at Dark Plains Radio. They're doing something on July 24th through 25th in Virginia, Minnesota at the Evelis Recreation Building, which used to be a hockey stadium, and it's supposed to be their version of Waverly.
And
that would be the 24th through the 25th Dark Plains Radio.
And that's the Great Lakes Paranormal Conference is going to be going
yes,
on there.
Right.
And so, guys, great stuff. We're so happy we were able to get you on. And, you know, our buddy Jason is in there. Before we split, I just wanted to have him ask, too, when Jason and I have been together, we've actually gotten EVPs in other languages. Now, a lot of people say that the ghost can talk to you in your own language once they've passed on, but then we've been in American areas and gotten, you know, German EVPs. Have you guys had that kind of stuff happen?
Well, what was there anybody there that knew German?
Yeah. You
know?
The first time we didn't know. In fact, when we first got the EVP, we thought that it was just gibberish, like, right, because we didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, well, they're just speaking gibberish. And then somebody else heard it later and said, no, that's German. And they translated it for me.
And then when I went back with Gowan, I asked the questions in German. And we didn't get anything until we were ready to leave. And I said, you know, if you want us to hear you, you've got to say something. And the last EVP we got was a voice saying Hörlin, which in German is to hear.
Uh-huh.
But it just seems that place seems to be a German EVP mecca.
Really? Yeah. That's interesting.
And you know, that's really rare. I mean, it happens, but it doesn't happen very much. The vast majority of times, EVP will come through in a language that the questioner understands. And I would consider yourself fortunate if you got an EVP in a different language, especially the fact that you were able to realize that it was German, and that you were able to end up making it out through translation. The only kind of experience we had was in the Queen Mary, really quick. We were in the cargo hold, right?
Yeah.
Where they kept the prisoners of war and stuff like that. And through, I think it was the K2 or whatever, we figured out that there was a German prisoner down there, but he did not want his questions asked in English.
Like he didn't trust anybody in the room.
Right. So luckily, in our group, we had somebody that spoke German.
Go figure.
And we had him ask the questions in German, and we got responses through EVP in English. It was weird.
That is odd.
And we've gotten heavy accents and that type of thing. You know, we've gotten somebody that might be Italian, one or two words here and there on our porch. But I think it has to do, too, with how evolved that spirit is. You know, a lot of what we get is at home or on our porch or in haunted locations where they used to speak in English. But, you know, I think the more highly evolved the spirit is, they're able to translate it to you in whatever language you understand. But I think if it's kind of an earthbound spirit that, you know, I'd hate to think what we've erased in the past that could be a foreign language that, you know, like you say, you didn't really realize it was German or whatever. You know, so I think it just comes to, you know, learning as you go.
Absolutely, guys. I've ran into that a lot out here in Indiana where the Potawatomi language is very thick. I mean, you get a lot of that when you go out. And, of course, that's the Indians that were first here. And it's amazing. EVP is amazing. And to this day, it's my favorite part of the paranormal.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable. I mean, just to stand there, ask a question and tell your recorder back, knowing damn well that nobody said a word, and whether, like, it happens with Debbie and I just standing there.
But to get a direct response, like an answer to your question, we were just at Gettysburg recently, and, you know, we did video, and I never get anything on video, but this place was so hot. It was the Farnsworth House. If you go to
Gettysburg, there you go.
You need to stay there. And I mean, my God, it was just myself, Mark, my good friend Mel, and another friend, Mike. We had two rooms. We had the whole freaking place. We heard footsteps. A door would open three times, footsteps in the hall. But we caught EVP on the video, which, I don't know, it's a very tedious thing for me to watch video. But this, I knew we'd catch something, so I'm glued to the screen. You hear them say, Debbie. You hear them say, Mark. Then you hear a woman come through, say, Cage. I don't know what that means. I have to look through stuff. But, I mean, it's just to get, like, what are the chances of that happening? When we go in, the first thing we say is, I'm Debbie, I'm Mark. We're going to be staying here tonight. Thanks for sharing your house, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, to hear it played back like that when you're not expecting to hear audio is pretty intense, too.
You know what, Debbie, to all three of us guys on the air with you tonight, Jay Gow, Nathan, and myself, Gettysburg holds a special place in our heart. There's a special place out there called Barlow's Knoll. It's actually the only place you can go after hours on the battlefield at this point. And every time we've been out there, we got something. If you go to our MySpace page, Ghost and Demon, you will see a video of the night we were out there with Ghostly Talk Radio Nathan and myself, and we had a very strong EVP that said, help me. It came over on the video. So, yeah, Gettysburg, I love it. I love that place.
Oh,
a lot of stuff.
I want to buy a house there. I want a house.
It's the only place where you can walk hand in hand with the dead. That's what I always say.
When Chrissy and I were talking
to you, it was freaking live, because from listening for so many years of, like, EVP, I don't know if you guys get this, but, you know, you hear it in fans, you hear it when you vacuum, because your ear is attuned to listening into the white noise.
Uh-huh.
It's raining when we're there. I mean, and we're from Nevada, so we don't get a lot of rain, but it's beating down in the sewer. So we're going in to eat in this restaurant. I hear voices, like a conversation going on in the sewer. I mean, you know, call me crazy, call me what you will. It's been done before, but that place is, it's electric. You know, I've never, even more than Salem, Mass, or the most haunted place I've ever been to, I think Gettysburg is my new favorite.
Well, you know, okay. It's the funny thing about that trip to Gettysburg is I videotaped our trip there, and I listened to the entire video and didn't hear anything. But when we switched it over to digital and it cleaned it up, we were able to hear the EVP. So now I'm almost hoping to go through my old videos. The problem is it takes so long to transfer them to digital on the computer, but I want to hear them all again.
I wish we would have talked to you guys a couple weeks ago before we went. We would have checked that place out. You had just mentioned that.
It's one of the few places in Gettysburg, too, that you can stay all night.
Uh-huh. See, now, we needed you about 2 weeks ago.
We have a forum at www.ghostanddemon.com. You could have joined it and asked us the question there.
Well, I'm sure Debbie and Mark, we'll get a chance to go back out there, all of us, again. And we can't wait to show you that place, because it's awesome.
Oh, that would rock.
We'd love to see it, sure.
Well, guys, it's Debbie, it's Mark and Debbie, and I want to say this right. Constantino,
yeah. Constantino. Just the way it's spelled.
Guys, Sean, I know you and I have a million more questions because we just love EVP. But you know what, Sean? We got to wrap.
Yeah, well, we got to do what we got to do, I guess.
So, Debbie and Mark, can you hang on the line while we wrap up?
Sure.
And Jason, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
We're going to wrap up, and we want to say thank you to our buddy Jason. And
You know I love coming in.
That's right. We love you, Jason.
Jason is our paranormal instigator, and we will take him with us anywhere because he's more fun than a barrel of Jasons. But
he's Nathan's lover, actually.
Shh, that was our secret. But Sean, we also have
to
take...
Whose lover am I?
Yeah, come on, Sean. I was watching the messages earlier. I'm not the one who was sending love messages to Jason. So.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
But, guys, we got to take the time to thank everybody for joining us tonight for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Absolutely, guys. Hey, the dead are speaking. We just have to listen. And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log on our forums, because we really want to hear from you.
And don't forget to, if you missed any part of this or any Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, you can find them at Planet Paranormal, Podomatic, Podcast Alley, iTunes, Mediafly, Podbean, Blueberry, Podcast Pickle, the ParaX Radio Network, the Podfeed Community, and the Black Vault Radio Network. And
curl up naked and enjoy them.
That's what we do. And join us next week when we'll be talking to Jack A. Wheat of the Waverly Hills Audio Tour and StompOutCancer.com.
Ooh, hey, and don't go changing, Ghost Hunters. You know we won't. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
Night night.
So say good night to the bad guys.